Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Atlas Mara Half Year Results Investor Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today on Thursday, the 27th of August, 2015. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, John Vitallo. Please go ahead, sir.
Operator, thank you. And greetings to everyone on the call from Lusaka. Thank you for joining us on this first half results call. Today with me are Bob Diamond and Ashish Thakkar, our co-founders, Arena McDonald, Chief Financial Officer, and Brad Gibbs, a member of the Atlas Mara Executive Committee. You'll have seen that we issued our first half results announcement earlier today. We've also placed a presentation on our website, atlasmara.com, which will form the basis of our discussion this morning. Before beginning, I'd like to turn your attention to the disclaimer on page one of that presentation, which we will treat as read and acknowledged. Slide two presents the agenda for the call. We'll run through the presentation and then we'll open up the lines for your questions. Our objective here is today to give you a detailed review of our year-to-date performance, our areas of focus, and a sense of the underlying momentum of our company. During the course of this call, we'll provide an update on the execution of our strategy, discuss the H1 results, and provide our outlook for 2015 and beyond. I'm going to hand over to Bob and Ashish now to make some opening remarks.
Thank you, John. It's been a wonderful week here in Lusaka. Our bank in Zambia has been host to our entire executive committee since Sunday. Our full board and quarterly board meeting was held here. More importantly, we've had an opportunity to spend time visiting branches, doing town halls with our staff, engaging with customers and clients. We've had our first ever rebrand. It's now Bank ABC, part of Atlas Mara. We've been able to introduce a number of exciting new hires that John will talk about later, particularly people involved in helping our customers and clients here manage their currency exposure and their commodity exposure, very important in this environment. So great to talk to you from Lusaka. Before we go into the full presentation, I want to remind our investors and our friends, the vision is very, very clear, and all of you understand our vision very clearly, to be the premier financial institution in sub-Saharan Africa, focused on 10 to 15 key countries, focused on presence in each of the key trading blocks. You've also seen us acquire banks. In our first year, I think it was a fantastic performance. Four deals, seven countries, all closed, followed up this year with our fifth deal announcement. Many of you have asked, how's execution? And I think the focus of today is to show you that this, in our first six-month period where we have owned a bank, in this case, Bank ABC, how has the execution gone? So we understand the vision. We know that the acquisition progress has been terrific. This is the first time we really get to show you how this team can execute. A couple of highlights on page three, revenues up, profits up, loans and advances up, but I think most of deposits up. But most importantly, what will come to life is what John and the team have been focused on, which is now having acquired Bank ABC, really driving a credit process from front to back. And you'll notice in these results, NPLs are down. Coverage of NPLs are up, and recoveries are up dramatically. With that as an introduction, we're going to focus this on how we can execute now that we have full ownership of Bank ABC. Ashish, my partner.
Thank you, Bob. It has been an absolutely brilliant week here in Zambia. As Atlas Mara, we have always been welcomed by governments and regulators. This week has further enhanced that. Bob, John, and I had a great meeting with His Excellency, the President of Zambia, the Honorable Minister of Finance, the Honorable Minister of Youth and Sports. They were so excited having us here, and more importantly, having Atlas Mara invested and operating in the country. It was extremely encouraging. They were also very appreciative and excited about the Mara Mentor program being implemented in the country, the Diamond Family Foundation's efforts with the grassroots soccer in Zambia supporting education and sports development. Bottom line, they are really excited and fully appreciate that Atlas Mara is here for the long term. Turning you to slide 4, I would like you to remember 3 key points. Firstly, the team is intensely focused on execution, in line with our overall strategy and vision. John will discuss the details, but the number of initiatives in progress and bearing fruit already is really exciting. Secondly, the OPIC partnership is a huge landmark. The U.S. government's development finance institution announcing a $200 million facility for Atlas Mara is massive, truly game-changing. And thirdly, we are long-term bullish on Africa versus the current concerns. While we are all following the recent economic data and market developments closely, particularly with respect to China, there will be some impact on sub-Saharan Africa. However, the underlying long-term growth drivers remain firmly intact. While not a straight line and there will be some ups and downs, the slope is firmly positive. Africa will continue to rise. I will now turn back to John.
Thanks, Ashish. So we discussed our strategy and business model extensively in connection with our year-end 2014 results. I'd like to reiterate some of those points on page 5, or slide 5. We remain absolutely convinced that the opportunity that was identified at our inception continues to exist. The thesis is intact. We are confident that Africa's economies offer huge potential, irrespective of selected macroeconomic headwinds, and that we can build sub-Saharan Africa's premier financial institution. We have further refined our strategy with respect to geographic and client segmentation, and we've codified our buy, protect, grow business model during the past several months to ensure that all members of the team are singing from the same hymn sheet. And this has included establishing a common set of values and a sense of shared mission throughout the organization. We are a high-octane operation that values excellence and prides itself on the highest standards of conduct. The cascading of our values throughout the group have been very favorably received by customers. Having established a strategy, business model, and culture, we're now intensively focused on execution, and I will elaborate on our areas of activity in the coming pages using the format of buy, protect, grow, which is our model. So turning to slide 6, you'll have seen our announcement in April regarding the proposed acquisition of Banque Populaire BPR, Rwanda's second largest bank, and combination or merger of BPR with our existing Rwandan operation, BRD Commercial. Conditions precedent remain outstanding, but we are excited by the prospects of this combination, the opportunities in Rwandan financial services, and more broadly, the East Africa community. And this transaction is representative of our strategy to be a scale player in our markets of operation. We continue to evaluate further acquisition opportunities. On slide 7, we've highlighted a number of initiatives underway to improve processes and systems and ensure that the platform is fit for growth. In addition to credit processes and IT, where, as the bullets attest, we're making tangible progress, I'd like to add some additional color around talent. As you'll have seen in our RNS, we've continued to hire high-caliber professionals who share our passion for sub-Saharan African banking. And here today, I'd like to mention 3 specific hires. First, Mike Christelis, our new head of Treasury and Markets, who joins us from Barclays. Second, Eric Odiambu, who will be joining us from Citibank as our Chief Risk Officer. And third, Mabuba Dian, who has joined Bank ABC as Head of Corporate and Investment Banking. Each of these gentlemen has extensive experience and track record building and leading businesses in sub-Saharan Africa. And lastly, but by no means least, going to slide 8 and talking about growth. In addition to protecting the platform, we have launched and are incubating a number of growth initiatives. These include enhanced cross-selling programs, delivering on our digital strategy and increasing distribution in a cost-effective way, such as our initiative with the Tanzanian Postal Agency. Turning to slide 9, you'll have seen the announcement, I hope, in early August regarding this very exciting milestone in our history, the OPIC board's approval of $200 million of financing for Atlas Mara's subsidiary banks. As we've communicated in the past, engaging with DFIs has been an important component of our strategy. And with this announcement, we have now assisted our banks in obtaining more than $325 million of long-term competitively priced DFI funding. OPIC's $200 million financing commitment will enable us to accelerate various elements of our M&A-led growth strategy, as well as numerous initiatives consistent with our desire to leverage emerging financial technologies and increase financial inclusion. The fact that $130 million of OPIC's $200 million is earmarked to support acquisitions is phenomenal and unique. I cannot overstate our excitement regarding this project. Low-cost, long-tenor financing that can be used for acquisition, this really moves the needle, and we're looking forward to building upon this important value-additive partnership. Going to slide 10, and Bob mentioned this earlier in his opening remarks, another exciting initiative which we formally announced today is the relaunching of Bank ABC's brand and the adoption of an endorsement strategy whereby the words "part of Atlas Mara" have been added to a refreshed Bank ABC logo. We've already seen deposit growth directly resulting from the perception of increased strength of our banks. And this endorsement strategy marries the familiarity and presence of Bank ABC in its countries with the global capabilities and experience of Atlas Mara. I attended a soft launch in Zambia, all of us did, on Wednesday. And based on the reception of our people and customers, I can tell you this is going to have a very positive impact going forward. And this rebranding is also representative of what we're doing here. We are building an integrated banking group. As you've heard us say many times, we are not an investment holding company. We are operators running a multi-country financial services group. Going on to slide 11. We recognize the global macroeconomic challenges that have the headlines now, but we do want to reiterate our confidence in the legs that underpin the African growth story. The drivers of growth are no doubt well known to all of you, and these are long-term, 20-plus year trends. And what this chart seeks to remind us is that relative to developed and other emerging markets, Africa's long-term prospects are projected to be bright, irrespective of likely revisions to near-term real GDP growth. Additionally, on page 12, we provide some perspectives on the Nigerian environment specifically. Needless to say, we're monitoring oil price and currency movements closely. However, we also take a long-term view with respect to Nigeria and the prospects for its banking sector. And our analysis is that while 2015 and 2016 could be challenging years for that sector, the compound annual growth rate for it is solidly in the mid-teens, and UBN, in our view, is capable above market growth. In particular, I'd note that the banked population in Nigeria is expected to add an additional 32 million people between now and 2020, and that is nearly 100% growth. I don't want to appear to be underestimating the impact of the current macro environment, but as I stated earlier, we believe very strongly that the overarching thesis for building a sub-Saharan African banking platform remains absolutely intact. I'll now turn the presentation over to our Chief Financial Officer, Arena McDonald, who will provide more color on the first half performance across the group.
Thank you, John. Our results, highlighted on slide 13, reflect the execution of our strategy with a number of encouraging trends Enhancements in operational performance are reflective in the growth of both assets and liabilities in the balance sheet on a constant currency basis. Let's look at the income statement first. Net interest income for the first 6 months of 2015 was up 8.5% on a constant currency basis, largely due to a combination of lower cost of funding and the asset recoveries Bob referred to earlier, accounted for as part of interest income in accordance with IFRS accounting rules. Non-interest revenue was driven by favorable trading performance, especially in the Mozambican business, driven by currency volatility in the first half of this year. Insurance-related commission revenue in Botswana and the underwriting of unsecured personal lending also contributed positively towards revenue. Credit impairments include some accounting adjustments relating to the write-off of pre-acquisition non-performing loans during 2014, reflected in the credit loss ratio of 1%. Excluding these IFRS 3 accounting adjustments, the year-to-date impairment would still be circa 17% below that of 2014, reflective of the effort by the business to manage non-performing loan recoveries as well as responsible asset growth. The cost-to-income ratio is positively trending in the right direction. Note that included in the 2015 expense base, transaction M&A expenditure relating to ongoing acquisitions totals about 5.4 million compared to the 13.6 million in H1 of 2014. Various key hires were made during the second half of 2014 and the first half of 2015 at an Atlas Mara corporate center level, for which costs are now fully included in the 2015 half year and not in the comparative period. Loans and advances grew 8.9% on a constant currency basis, largely as a result of retail growth, but it is our expectation that corporate loan growth is likely to increase as the group progresses on implementing a renewed and refocused corporate banking strategy. The decline in equity is driven mainly by the foreign currency translation impact, resulting from the strengthening of the dollar against local African currencies. Encouraging signs in retail deposit growth makes the business less reliant on expensive wholesale funding through interbank lines and institutional depositors. The income from associate represents our investment in UBN, on which I will speak to separately. On slide 14, we endeavoured to reflect the operating performance of the business for the period under review. Briefly, the objective here is to adjust the expenses for costs that will not form part of our long-term cost structure to support the operational performance of our business. Included in such cost base are M&A transaction expenditure, specific one-off expenditure as we are building the platform, and some consolidation adjustments. These results are somewhat more comparable to competitors that do not have such a unique expenditure base in their operating cost base. The key financial metrics on this adjusted profit base reflect the progress that we made during the first 6 months of this year. Page 15 presents a segmental breakdown of our first half results. As you can see, the southern and west regions represented the lion's share of the group's results. The Tanzania Bank has been recapitalized during the first quarter of 2015, and a new management team is in place to execute on the turnaround business strategy. The reduction in equity recorded in the southern region is due to full year 2014 Bank ABC losses being included in equity from the 1st of January 2015. We remain committed to Nigeria through our investment in UBN, held partially through our acquisition of ADC, as well as directly through the direct acquisition of shares that was completed in December 2014. The column headed Other is a management presentation format to clearly show the impact of Atlas Morris Corporate Center separate from M&A transaction costs, the ADC entities, and other consolidation entries. On page 16, we provide additional information on net interest margins and cost of funding on an individual country basis. As you can see, encouraging trends in cost of funding are evident across all of our operating banks, particularly in Botswana and Mozambique. Having said that, in Zambia, for example, the liquid asset requirement has increased from 14% to 18%. In both Zambia and Tanzania, significant local currency liquidity pressures were experienced. And amidst such tough market conditions, any reduction in the cost of funding indeed shows remarkable progress in this key metric that will drive increased profitability in the future. Liquidity pressures in some of our present countries may well continue to put upward pressure on these reducing trends. However, management is committed to execute on the strategy to gather cheaper transactional-based deposits, especially in the retail segment, to offset the impact of such liquidity constraints. Let us now turn to some balance sheet analysis and refer to the loan information on page 17. The total loan book reflects a healthy balance of retail versus corporate assets. Payroll-based personal lending at 41% of the total book still represents the majority of the retail bank's risk asset base, predominantly through the Bank Easy product offering. The current industry spread is focused more towards non-infrastructure and less capital-intensive business sectors. In terms of asset quality, as you can see on page 18, the non-performing loan ratio has reduced from year-end 2014 levels and is expected to reduce further as improved credit origination, control and collection processes, and monitoring thereof are put in place. In terms of provision adequacy, we believe that we have sufficient provisions across all of our countries of operation. The table on slide 18 reflects the macroeconomic headwinds facing the businesses in Zimbabwe. In this market, as well as other markets, we are very much focusing on collections and the management of the non-performing loan portfolio through the establishment of a special operations unit to manage the restructuring, resolution, and recovery of such loans. This unit has already recorded exceptional successes in 2015 with regards to recovery of non-performing loans and some overdue loans. The graph on slide 18 shows the improvement in the overall credit quality very well. Non-performing loan values are reducing, and the coverage ratios are increasing. On slide 19, we reflect the capital adequacy of our operating banks as at June 2015. Bank ABC Tanzania was recapitalized during the first quarter of 2015, reflecting the commitment of Atlas Mara to the turnaround strategy of that Tanzanian bank and confirming our presence in this key East African market. Bank ABC Zambia is required to hold a minimum level of capital due to it being a foreign-owned bank. This minimum balance has been maintained partially through Tier 1 capital aggregation, but also some Tier 2 placements. All banks are above the regulatory minimum and have been fully compliant over the reporting period. The impact of the strengthening dollar on capital levels in Nigeria is closely being monitored. With respect to UBN, on page 20, we provide the dollar translation of their reported Naira results as at June half year. We are pleased with the continued performance of this investment, whilst the transformation project delivers consistently improved results for each reporting period after another. The bank is sufficiently capitalized with a liquid and healthy balance sheet. Annualized credit losses of less than 2% shows a positive trend given current macro conditions in that market and really reflect the focus on credit management as a key emphasis for the UBN management team. On page 21, we highlight UBN's performance relative to selected Nigerian banks that have already reported their half-year results for the 2015 half-year. the UBN transformation plan is well underway, and the relative performance demonstrates excellent progress, particularly when compared to some of these selected Tier 2 Nigerian banks. The points on the bottom of the page are worth noting with respect to year-on-year trends. Look at the positive net interest margin expansion, the NPL ratio reduction, the ROE improvement. The total equity improvement is driven by its continued profitability. And I think the total assets growth is also noteworthy. I would like to turn now the call back to John to touch upon our outlook for the remainder of 2015 and beyond.
Arena, thank you. So I'd now like to take the opportunity on slide 22 to reiterate the points we've made during this call and to talk about our focus for the second half. We have a positive outlook for the remainder of the year, and that's underpinned by traction in deposit growth, increased capital-light revenues, our client acquisition strategy and the cross-selling initiatives starting to bear fruit, and the continuation of our focused cost management initiatives while investing for growth. It's driven by asset recovery progress and improved asset quality. And our emphasis during the second half, our focus, is on continuing to attract the right talent and creating positive momentum in execution, continuing to build a strong, high-performance and results-focused culture, more improvements in risk management processes and controls, improved technology platforms and mobile banking applications, continuing to build brand equity across all our markets, executing our funding strategy to support our growth ambitions, ongoing improvement in governance, compliance, and the controls environment, and executing bolt-on acquisitions to derive synergies and grow. Turning now to slide 23, we reiterate the guidance that we provided in connection with the publication of our 2014 year-end results and also give some commentary as to where we are in our journey towards meeting the goals we've set out for ourselves. We remain confident of our ability to achieve our medium-term targets, most notably loan and deposit growth greater than 1.5 times GDP in our countries of operation, a 60 to 65% cost income ratio, NPLs less than 4%, return on assets of circa 2%, and a return on equity of circa 20%. As we've done on other investor calls, I'll now ask Brad Gibbs to briefly touch on our relative valuation and our recent share price performance.
Great. Thanks for that, John, and good afternoon. Good morning, everyone. On page 24, we present selected valuation and relative valuation statistics. And once again, we'd like to reiterate the following. Our platform is unique. We have a presence in high-growth markets and no exposure to a low-growth market such as South Africa. We have top-flight governance and a London listing providing market access. And as John, Arena, Bob, and Ashish have alluded to, we continue to execute the plan. We announced 5 acquisitions in 19 months, and our results demonstrate that we are capable of effecting significant positive change in a short period of time. However, all that being said, we continue to note that our current trading levels are quite low, and from our perspective represent a significant opportunity for investors to participate in our growth going forward. We look forward to engaging with you and communicating our story and addressing what we view to be a significant valuation gap. I'll now turn the call back over to John.
Brad, thanks so much. So before opening the line for questions, I'd just like to thank our shareholders for their constructive feedback and engagement, our management and employees for all their hard work, and our co-founders, board, and regulators in the markets in which we operate for their support and counsel. Keely, would you please open the line for questions now?
Of course, thank you. As a reminder to everybody, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the hash key. And your first question comes from the line of Lee Cooperman. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, you make a very upbeat presentation, and it seems that the more upbeat you guys get, the lower the stock price goes. So you show on, I think, slide 23, an aspirational or medium-term goal of 2% return on assets, 20% ROE. I'm assuming if I take the 20%, I apply that to the 913 book, which is the book today, which will be higher in a couple of years' time. So you're implying that you think this enterprise could earn a couple of bucks a share if you execute on your goal. What I would like to see is less dialogue and optimism and action to capitalize on the inefficiency that seems to exist in our stock price. In other words, the stock is trading 565. You're saying that if you execute on your program, you have a $2 earner here selling at 3x earnings. Yet I don't see us making any attempt to shrink the cap, retire the warrant, to do something to show the market that we really believe in what we're saying. So help me out and explain whether maybe we just don't have the flexibility, our capital is counted, maybe your investment opportunities are much greater than buying back your stock at 60% of book. But tell me about the financial program of the company.
Lee, it's John Vitallo here. I'll start us off on the answer to that. The simple answer is that we're prohibited from doing any of that, from buying stock or buying warrants. We're in a prohibited period. I can't say much more than that as to why we're in a prohibited period, but we are. As you know, the co-founders and management, the executive committee of Atlas Mara, all lined up, started putting personal money to work buying stock earlier in the year. You'll have noticed that we're not doing that anymore. It's not because we finished, but because we're also prohibited. That's an unfortunate set of circumstances that it is.
All right. Let me just ask you two questions. One, the 20% ROE, when you say medium period, what do you define as the medium period? 3 years or less or more?
It's 3 to 5 years, Lee.
3 to 5 years. And secondly, do you have any sense of when this prohibitive period might end? You know, is it 3 months from now, 2 months from now, a month, 2 weeks?
Lee, it's Bob. It's difficult for us. We were not expecting to be prohibited coming out of earnings, and we can't say why we're prohibited. But it kind
of. No, I didn't ask you why. I asked you when you thought it would end. I asked you not why, but when you would end. I guess, obviously, the most curious question is, are we prohibitive good or prohibitive bad? But I won't ask that question. My simple question is, when do you think we'll be in a position to capitalize on Mr. Market's inefficiency? As Ben Graham said, you know, in the short term, the market's a voting machine. In the long term, it's a weighing machine. I have great confidence. You guys are enthusiastic. You're capable. I have confidence in you. The market doesn't. I want to capitalize on this market's lack of confidence to our benefit. And so I'm trying to figure out, when do you think, good or bad, that this prohibitive period would end? I'm not asking you why you're in a prohibitive period, but when do you think it'll end?
Yeah, it's hard to answer. I mean, I'm answering both questions at once when I do it. And if we knew with certainty, we would be able to predict the timing of deals and closing and all those things, and we can't. You know, the sooner it is, it means that it generally means that we have been successful in doing the things that we want to do. We have said to you, both John and I, that personally we're willing to put money to work, as is the firm when those conditions are there. But I would also say that everyone on this phone call should recognize that there is a tremendous opportunity in the share price here. Given that the vision is, and I'm sorry to go back through this, but the vision is clear. We've all bought off on that. The execution of the M&A strategy, you know, four deals, less than a year, all closed. Seven countries. And now what we want to bring to life, and this is the first 6 months that we've been really running a bank, Bank ABC, we're really driving performance. And I've been a banker a long time, Lee. Seeing a team like this turn performance around in this short of a period of time is a harbinger of very good things going forward. We have the vision, the execution of the M&A strategy around 10 to 15 key countries, in each of those countries being in the top tier. And now we're showing our investors that we can really execute. This is a fantastic growth platform. We're very bullish. We want all of our investors to be bullish as well. There's good reason to be.
Good. No, your enthusiasm is infectious. I just I guess I'm greedy in the sense that I want to capture the mistake Mr. Market's making, but we'll have to wait until you get out of this restricted period. I wish you good luck, and I thank you for always being there and reporting to us as you do in great detail.
Thank you. I always hate to quote Goldman Sachs because I competed with them for many years, but we have to be medium to long-term greedy.
You got it. That was Gus Levy's comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thanks for your support.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone. And your next question comes from the line of Waheed Chamas. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the call. Calling from Janus Capital here. To piggyback on the question that was just asked, I'm still not satisfied. You guys are well aware your largest shareholders own approximately 1,000 days of volume when you took it the 90-day volume average. So your largest shareholders are not going to be able to buy the stock just given liquidity constraints. But that leaves two gaps. One is either the company finds incremental buyers to capitalize on this, or the company takes its destiny in its own hands. You guys are fully capable of doing a cleansing statement of all cleansing statements, putting as much information out there in order for the marketplace to know as much as you guys know, right? You've already previewed your acquisition story. So if the sensitive information is around acquisitions, it's all very well telegraphed. And you guys can further telegraph it with a cleansing statement in order for you to be able to be unrestricted. It's all in your hands. So please help me understand why your lawyers and compliance guys cannot create the right cleansing statement in order for you to be very active in the marketplace.
Appreciate the question, and it's Brad. We obviously can hear the frustration coming through the line. We share your frustration on multiple levels. But to be clear, we've taken advice on this topic. We've discussed it extensively. It would not be prudent for us to issue such a cleansing statement. We are doing everything in our power to execute as quickly as we can in order to get out of this prohibited period, and we'll continue to keep the market apprised as appropriate.
But the other part to your question is, what are the other things we can do? And Brad and Arena and Patrick Durkin and Kojo and the team, we have a very, very serious effort going on of meeting new potential investors. We've been seeing some progress of that as some of the selling has come up. We've seen new investors come in, as you can see on the register. Over the next 3 or 4 weeks, John, Ashish, Arena, myself, Brad, Kojo, Patrick, we're going to be doing this throughout Africa. We're going to be doing it in London and Europe. We're going to be doing it throughout 5 or 6 cities in the U.S. So we're out on the road. We think it's a fantastic story, and we agree with you that the share price is undervalued. We realize the liquidity won't be where we want it to be for a few years when we have a larger base of operations, but we're leaving no stone unturned, and we just want to make sure you know that.
Are you at least working with the underwriters to collect as much volume as possible on the sell side? Because, you know, the excuse of nobody wants to buy because there's no volume is actually very strange, because it doesn't seem to be an issue on the downside. It seems to be an issue on the upside, obviously, because people are greedy. But to the extent is, if you know the willing sellers and you know who else is, maybe you can actually just help facilitate the liquidity for others. Are you able to do that?
Well, we are able to do that. We have done it, and we'll continue to do it.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Maybe one last question is, Bob, you mentioned besides the management team being really good, I do note the very fast turnaround. And I'm very positively surprised that you're able to make that much of a difference. Now, can you please weigh the following? How much is truly skill and how much is low-hanging fruit? Obviously, a lot of inefficiencies were evident to you before. And to the extent that there's some low-hanging fruit, how much low-hanging fruit still exists in some of these operations that you could easily turn around?
You know, I think when we're buying banks, we don't like the phrase low-hanging fruit, but I know what you're saying, and it is a combination of both. So part of our thesis for investing in financial services in sub-Saharan Africa was that Africa Rising is not going to be successful without a strong and robust financial services industry. Second, we recognize that trading blocks are really beginning to emerge. 10% of African trade is inter-Africa. It's crazy. But you see, in the East African community, the five presidents are working together on highways, on transportation, on visas, on imports, on exports, and we're starting to see a pickup in that trade. It was incredible to be here this week with Mike Christelis, who is the new head of markets and treasury. He has 30 years at Standard Bank and Barclays in building these operations for us, helping the staff here in Zambia understand the things we can do in the bond markets, the commodities markets, the currency markets. We did a very large transaction just last week, very large, in helping a corporate client in another country in the SADC region hedge out some currency exposure. So there is so much, I wouldn't have called it low-hanging fruit, but we can bring things to this bank around risk management and financing for our customers, around capital markets platforms, around technology, around efficiency. It takes an outstanding team, and I will say this team is phenomenal, to turn something around and see progress that quickly. They've reinvented 24/7. This team is working 24/8. I don't know how they do it. They're amazing. And the board has been very, very supportive as well. But you're absolutely spot on to say that the opportunity is there as well. Many of the traditional models of banking, particularly in the domestic.
Hello, everyone. Sorry for the dropped call here. I think, Wahid, we were in the middle of Ashish speaking about mobile banking here in Zambia. We got dropped off. The other thing I'd say, and you know, partly in response to your question, is the results you're seeing here in front of you didn't just drop out of the sky. This is a result of a very deliberate, hard, focused attention. Operator, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you. And your next question comes from the line of Dion Darren. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My question has been answered by a previous caller. Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time, but as a reminder, that's star one if you do have a question. And you have another question from the line of Caleb Kelly. Please go ahead. Caleb Kelly, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Operator?
Can you hear me?
You're very faint.
Well, go ahead. We'll figure it.
We'll try.
Is this better?
Yes.
Okay, so sorry to harp on the same topic, but back to the share repurchases. Maybe you could talk about it more from a philosophical point of view, since there are short-term practical restrictions. But with the shares trading where they are, can you talk to us about how much cash you would have available to buy back shares if you weren't restricted, how you'd be thinking about the priority of the use of that cash for share buybacks versus, you know, growth type acquisitions? I think maybe that would make us all feel better if you could talk about what you would be doing if you could, and therefore hopefully what you will be doing when you can.
So we have the authority, the formal corporate governance board authority, and we have a plan with specific parameters and a specific amount of money to invest in the shares. We're not prepared to discuss those parameters publicly, but they have been approved by our board. They have been in place. We have been unable to execute by virtue of being prohibited from doing so. We completely share your pain and all other shareholders. This management team is very invested, myself personally, all of us, the co-founders. We're doing everything in our power to turn that situation.
So is it fair to say that buying back shares would be a priority use of cash when and if you're able to?
You know, it's Bob, just to speak. These aren't simple things. As John said, we have a plan, and it's been approved by our board. To say we came to it easily would be wrong. I think in the early days, you know, we all know there's very little liquidity driving the kind of performance, and we know that we should be focused on building the business and driving it forward. But we've heard from enough of our shareholders that it's important to them, and it's important to us. So we do have that approval and plan. But I don't want to say for a second either of two things. One, we don't take it lightly, because our job is to be buying banks and driving banks and improving banks and creating one integrated sub-Saharan Africa premier financial institution, and that's where we want to focus. And the second thing is, we actually are very, very confident that over a period of time, the results are going to win out, the vision's going to win out, and the share price for those of us that are patient will take care of itself. Having said all that, we also listen to our shareholders, and we're prepared to execute on this plan. I hope that's fair.
Great. Thanks.
Operator, are there any more questions?
Thank you. We have one more question from the line of Julian Roberts. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Could you just give us a little color on the breakdown of your NPLs, either by sector, by location, or by business unit?
Sure, absolutely. Irina will talk to that.
Hello, thank you. This is Irina. I'm going to just turn to the page where we talk about a little bit the impairments. You know, it's a fascinating business. The business lines from a corporate versus a personal or individual perspective are totally different in its nature. You may be well aware that the Bank Easy offering that I've mentioned in my discussion is by and large a payroll deduction scheme with civil servants in many of our countries, where we have a very close relationship with the government and the unions that own a code with regard to payroll deduction. I'm giving you that context to help you understand that the coverage ratios and impairments on retail on the retail book is relatively low, given 5 to 7 year trends of a very good repayment cycle, very good performance, high yield, and really delivering the bread and butter for us in that book. That's about 70% of the total retail book. The rest is a variety of retail customers. Again, the 6 months under review in all of our markets, we saw pleasing results. Mozambique had some unfortunate write-offs within the retail book, and we are all focused, as I mentioned, through the special operations unit to see how we can support that team on the ground on the recovery of that retail sector that has had some headwinds in the first half. The corporate book is relatively stable. We have had no single impairment on a single obligor name. Zimbabwe has the largest NPL book, and at the moment we are focused on recovering as much as possible there. Tanzania is the other market where you may recall the pre-acquisition impairments that we took and communicated to the market last year in Tanzania, and we have visibility of a positive pipeline of recovery in that market. It takes time, but with hard work and focused efforts, it pays off.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. You also have one more question from the line of Fayez Alhamoui. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for the call and for the very detailed presentation. A couple of questions on Nigeria, on UBN. Can you tell us as much as possible, as much as you can, where we are in terms of fully consolidating the bank from, I think we have now 31-32% stake, and what kind of valuation the private equity is demanding, what kind of exchange rate they're discussing, because, you know, the exchange rate in Nigeria is all over the place, 200 is the official, black market, different place, forward curve is telling us something else. So as much as possible, as much information as possible on this topic and where you see it. That's one. Number two, looking at the outlook and the targets, something jumped on me, which is the cost-income ratio of target 60-65% in the medium term. I feel it's a bit too high. Like when I look at banks in Nigeria and when I look at banks in other places in Africa, of course I'm talking about the best-in-class banks. They have a much lower cost-to-income ratio, efficiency ratio than the 60-65%. Yeah, of course there are a lot of inefficient banks that have higher. But how come it's that high? And you know, if we are operating a best-in-class, highly efficient machine, why do we need it to get to this high? Thank you.
Thanks. Great questions. I'll take the first one, John, and then Arena will take the second one. So your first question was what kind of light can we shed around when we'll be able to get to consolidating UBN? Unfortunately, there's not a lot of light we can shed on that because, as you know, to get to consolidation means having majority control. And when or how that might happen isn't really something we can talk about. What I can point out is that, and I think this is something that is good for everybody to appreciate, the acquisition price of our directly held stake from Amcon was 12 Naira a share. The current share price, book value of UBN for the first half, 2015, is 13.5 Naira per share. So we're in well below book. That doesn't even take into account the stake that we own through the UGPL consortium. So it's a comfortable place to be. But in terms of talking about possible path to a point of consolidation, I'm just afraid there's not a lot we can say about that. Arena, you want to talk about the cost-income ratio?
Thank you, John. Faiz, it's such a good question, and I think I'd like to start off to remind you we're at the moment at, you will see the adjusted profit that we showed, operating profit at 79% cost-to-income ratio. So if that is our starting point, if we're looking forward 3 years, which is our medium target for that, 3 years from now, we aim to be around 60%, 60-65%. We think that's a remarkable improvement in 3 years' time from 80% to 60%. And why at that point in time do we say that is a good result is because as we are building the platform and growing our banks, we're still investing. We need to invest in technology. We need to invest in innovative banking products to deliver on the promise and on people. And definitely agreed with you. If we look at Nigerian banks, if you look at the Kenyan banks, they're below that 60%. So note that the 60 to 65 is our medium-term target, and we absolutely focus to drive that lower, and that is part of the longer-term goal.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time, sir.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for joining today's call. If you do have further questions, please be in touch with me or Arena or Brad. I remain, and all this team remains, excited about the outlook for 2015. And thank you once again for joining us today.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect.